1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. And we are joined on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline by Grant Knuckles, who is one of the members, one of the five members of the Shreveport Film and Entertainment Economic Development Corporation. Oh, that's a mouthful.
Who came up with that name?
Yeah. Not I. You know, in government, the longer the name, you know, I guess more gets done.
Because that's not going on a business card.
Right.
That's right.
Grant,
50 being in control of marketing.
Grant, good morning. Thanks for joining us. This this commission has been formed to oversee, if I'm understanding this correctly, the $50 million in incentives that has been awarded to Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. Is that correct?
That's correct. So this is $50 million total that's coming from an existing state taxpayer fund. That money goes through our nonprofit organization into LED, who will administer and do all of that in conjunction with 50 Cent.
What are your marching orders, and who are they coming from?
So the marching orders are spelled out in a really impressive and detailed cooperative endeavor agreement that is between LED, our organization, and 50 Cent. And I have to give props to LED and Mike Bustada, who really has been in the nuts and bolts of drafting what I think is a really impressive and pro-taxpayer CEA.
So let's get into the nuts and bolts. What is the money aimed at? What can he spend this money on?
So the money is spent in can be spent in $10 million tranches, not all at once, and it has to be spent between the three main facilities that we're talking about, Expo Hall, Millennium, and the newly constructed Dome. They're spent on a percentage basis, so they can't all be spent in one facility. And they're reimbursable expenses, meaning he has to come out of pocket and spend on what's defined as a capital expense, meaning hard assets. And then through this agreement, the state will reimburse those capital hard assets in these taxpayer-owned facilities.
But he's demonstrated historically since he's been here, he's not afraid to drop his own money and invest in this area.
That's right. I mean, I'm a taxpayer and a business person. I try to look at it as, you know, return on our taxpayer investments. I look at this, these are dollars that you and I as taxpayers are spending. And so if you look at it, it's a dollar out of the $50 million that could be spent total. He's putting in around $150 million on top of that. And then you've got this economic development study that he's been done that will hopefully bear fruit. But as far as this particular project, you've got, you know, about for every dollar of taxpayer money being spent of hard assets, he's going to spend $2.50 on top of it.
So with this funding, have you been privy to plans that we can expect? Is there anything you can share that we can look forward to?
No detailed plans as far as specific productions and things like that, but I can tell you, for example, it's not just he has to spend money on a hard asset and we give and then we the taxpayers, you know, help recoup that. There are very, very defined details, projects, for example. There has to be two projects in the first year with a minimum of $5 million budget using, I think, 50% Louisiana workers in the first year. And that goes up to 80% in years 3 through 5. The second year, $10 million worth of projects. The third year, $20 million worth of projects. There has to be live events. I believe it's 26 live events per year. I mean, and this is a very aggressive timeline, too. So this isn't going to be one of these things where money goes out and you twiddle your thumbs. I mean, I think for him to get this total $50 million, you've got to see not only a lot of assets being moved in place, but you've got to see a lot of events happening. You've got to see a lot of production.
This is like a performance-based contract.
100%.
Are there job numbers connected with the millions? Each million has to bring in so many jobs?
Aaron, I haven't seen job numbers, but I have seen these productions to happen.
Hang on, Grant. We're losing you.
You're breaking up
a
smidge.
Bit. Repeat that,
you're
please.
You're in the Shreveport Tunnel.
Sorry. That's right.
Okay, so
for these live performances to happen, it's got to use Louisiana workers. So there aren't, like, actual quantity of workers in place, but it's percentages. So for him to get these dollars and do these performances and productions, it's a certain percent of, you know, Louisiana, majority Louisiana residents that have to be used.
The way, because, I mean, we have sat now for 2 years, and the first contract said he's got to have movement, I think it was 180 days. What if we go beyond the, he's got a certain amount of time, you said a year, I believe. What if we get beyond that and we haven't met the criteria? Does this $50 million then go away?
It does. And again, the $50 million is not a blank check up front. It's reimbursable. So, you know, he has to do the work, for example, in year one to get that first tranche of money. And there are clawback provisions too, really, really strong clawback provisions. So if he doesn't meet the expense or these performance objectives, you know, the state can get that money back. So, I mean, again, I really try to look at this in the eyes of a taxpayer because that's all I am. And I think it's really, really well written, and he is really incentivized to spend the money, correctly, and to spend the money quickly.
You mentioned a minute ago, you said taxpayer-owned properties. We know Millennium is owned by the city. We know StageWorks is owned by the city. Would the G-Dome be owned by the city?
I don't think so, Aaron. That's more of a question for Besada, but I do think or know that all the improvements are, at least the $50 million total that this money is being spent on, would be owned by the state. So, you know, that's and that money's divvied up in all three properties. So a significant amount of that dome improvements would be owned by the taxpayer through this organization. I believe he would own the dome itself.
Okay. The other members of the commission are LED Secretary Susan Bourgeois, yourself, Kyle Ruckert. I believe he's the governor's chief of staff.
Right. Sam Jenkins is on there as well.
And Jack McFarlane.
Yes.
How often are you guys going to meet? Is it going to be meet as needed? What's the plan?
I believe as needed. I think we have another meeting coming up in February now that this you know, has all been announced. I'm not anticipating. Our organization is more checks and balances and oversight. Again, I think the heavy lifting is going to be going on an ongoing basis between LED administering this contract with 50. But I would anticipate us meeting, you know, at least quarterly and as needed on top of that.
Talking with Grant Knuckles. Grant, is this all sounds like it's going swimmingly. Are there any concerns that you have? I mean, are there any red flags that you see?
I've really looked for red flags and thought about that, Mike. Not that I see. I mean, I think there's, you know, there could be construction delays and production delays and things like that. But as far as these dollars go, they have to be spent the right way, and they have to be spent pretty quickly. So, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited about, you know, the city has a separate piece. It's a little confusing because the city has their gateway district with some sales tax dollars attached to that. But again, that's based on him spending his money and getting those clubs up and running and getting those other properties up and running. So I think altogether, this thing could really drive some economic development in the heart of our city. And what I'm really excited about as a taxpayer is that these two of these facilities, not the Dome, but Millennium and Expo Hall, have been sitting vacant for a long time. And you and I are on the hook for paying to keep those up. And so I'm excited to see somebody from the outside come in, use his dollars with a little refundable help from the state.
I'm excited about some downtown development as well. I'm sure. Looking forward to that happening. Grant Knuckles, can you hold with us? We got to take a quick break.
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline with Grant Knuckles, one of five members of the Shreveport Film and Entertainment Economic Development Corporation. Grant, the way we were talking about this $50 million disbursement, it's a reimbursement, basically. You mentioned the three properties, Millennium Studios,
StageWorks
properties, yep. And of course the Dome. Can he use this money for other developmental properties or just those three?
No, just those three, and spread out, I believe it says 40% to Millennium, 40% to Expo Hall, and 20% to the Dome. So spread across those three properties, but only those three properties specific to this $50
million. Okay.
So all the other properties he has bought in downtown Shreveport, he has to redevelop those with his own money?
Correct.
Okay. How will the application process work? Does his team put together a proposal and then submit it to you guys? What's the time frame for that? Do you know?
I think the time frame is pretty quick. This agreement spells out, I think, the sooner of 1 year from the agreement or 1 year from the end of this year when that money needs to start rolling in. He will interface with LED as far as the reimbursement tranches. I believe they're $10 million tranches. And so they will be the first line of defense or screening, so to speak, on him showing LED, okay, here's money that's been spent. I'm requesting $10 million. They will screen it. Are these, you know, acceptable expenses? Are you following the production timelines? And then our body will then oversee that process as well. In addition, there's, you know, CPA audits, I believe annual audits that will be happening as well.
That brings up something. Let's say he's already spent $10 million on Millennium. Is it money that he has to spend from this point forward, or can he be reimbursed for monies he's already spent?
I don't know that, Aaron. I believe it's this point forward. I'm not sure that – I think some money has been spent in Millennium. I don't think it's millions and millions of dollars at this point.
Right.
I imagine, you know, putting myself in his shoes, I imagine he wanted the stuff with the city and state in place, you know, on his side too before heavy lifting started happening. But, you know, now that this is in place with the aggressive timelines, I'm excited to see some real action going on down there on those properties.
Grant Nichols, have you spoke with him or any of his people? Is he happy with this setup?
I haven't spoken to him directly about this. I have spoken to him a couple times. I can tell you he's damn happy in general with Shreveport and the people he's met. And I mean, you know, he's more pro Shreveport than some Shreveporters I talked to. I mean, he's ready to get to work.
And I love
he's
that.
When you read the press release, I mean, I had to stop counting just the number of networks this guy's involved in. I went on Grok yesterday, and I typed in, is 50 Cent one of the most prolific filmmakers in the world? And it says yes, and then spells out all the things he's involved with. And that's in the press release as well.
That's exciting.
I mean, I think, you know, but Susan Bourgeois and LED is really impressive. I mean, they're not going to draft an agreement. Even though this agreement is super, super, you know, taxpayer protective, they're not going to waste time and dollars of something this scale with somebody who's just has a wish and a prayer. Mm-hmm. This is an aggressive pipeline of TV, film production, podcasts, live events. And, you know, I think the proof's in the pudding. So I'm anxious to see some more jobs in this area, some more dollars being spent downtown.
Let's ask you the question. You've probably done a lot of research on this. You're heavily involved. Do you think this will really compare to what Tyler Perry's done in Atlanta?
That's a tough question early on, Aaron. I mean, it's taken a long time for Tyler Perry to get there, but I know 50's work ethic, just from what I see from the outside, I can see the pipeline of production and what he's hungry. He's aggressive. He wants to grow. Tyler Perry's one of his mentors. Tyler Perry hosted him in Atlanta. He sees that. He's buying properties along the Texas Street Corridor because he envisions tourism coming after what we're talking about, these films come.
He's also very smart and very savvy.
Super intelligent. So I think long term, I think he's gunning for Tyler. He wants that. That's what he wants. And so, you know, if I'm a bet man, I'm gonna put my chips behind him as far as that. Nobody's going to outwork him. I can say that much.
Part of the problem, Grant Nichols, has been with the holdup has been flooding, and they're working on flooding mitigation. Can this money be used to apply towards that, or is that being taken care of?
I don't know. I believe the city and Tom Dark would know more on what's going on with the flooding down there. I do know that it has to be a capital expense on any one of these three properties. And so if he decided that part of his scope needed to be pipes and, you know, dirt work and concrete work and mitigation, that, you know, those are capital expenses that could be used. But I'm not sure the details on who's currently responsible for the flooding down there.
One last thing for Grant Knuckles. How did you get involved? Who approached you and said, hey, we want you to be one of these really prime five people that manages this?
Yeah, I heard about it through Senator Thomas Presley told me about what was going on. And I think as a governor appointee, I'm not exactly sure, but I imagine the governor reaches out to local delegation to say, hey, who might be a good, you know, just citizen that could serve on this committee. And so Thomas put me in touch with the group, and it's exciting. Look, I'm just excited to see jobs, more growth, more action going on in the heart of the city.
Absolutely. Grant Knuckles, thank you for your time. Great stuff.
Well, it sounds like y'all are doing it right, and that's very encouraging.
Absolutely. It needs to be done right. I mean, taxpayer dollars it's important how they're spent, and I'm excited about how these are being spent.
I agree. Thank you, Grant. Have a good morning.
Y'all too. Thanks.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We are back. By the way, Mayor Tom Arsenault is joining us 7 o'clock for the full hour. If you have questions for him, you can message them to us on the Shreveport Security Systems message board or on our Facebook page. We've got a post up there. I just want to shout out my buddies at AirPro today in Bossier City. They have provided a wonderful knit cap to cover my bald-headed noggin. Yes, I'm still bald. It doesn't grow back that fast. And so I need warm, comfy hats.
And that one looks good, too.
Yeah, and it is. It's really nice and toasty. And when I tell you that, I say the guys at AirPro, I've been affiliated with them for a long, long time, and they've been attacked by my dog. They have been crawling up in my heated attic, my nasty attic, I should say.
Oh, no.
They have dug holes all around the house. They've done all kinds of dirty work around my house, and they always leave things better than when they started. So hats off. If you're looking for an HVAC.
Did they clean your attic?
They do good work, man. I'm not just saying, and I reached out to them. They were one of the first. I said, hey, look, we're doing this hat promotion. I need some hats to cover my noggin.
He came by like that day.
He did. We got a hat. We took a picture, he gave me his check, and I'm like, I can't thank Pat and the team enough. They absolutely are wonderful, and they've been in business for years. I'm not going to tell you his age, but a long, long time, and they do good work. It's AirPro. They're in Bossier, and if you're looking for an H, got a good one, stick with them. If you need one, check out my buddies at AirPro.
Mayor Tom Arsenault joining us after the news at the top of the hour. By the way, we had somebody call ask, how do I get my question to the mayor? And I apologize. I left your number on my desk yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to call. But what you do is you submit your question through the Keel app. It's free. If you don't have it, you can download it in your app store and then shoot us a question on the Shreveport Security Systems message board.
Mm-hmm. I also put a little question thing on our Facebook page, the Keel Facebook page. What questions do you have for the mayor? We'll get to as many of those as we can, but keep them, you know. I mean, we don't want to know about the one pothole
broad
in
interest.
Front of your house.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Broad interest. You know, we'll ask the mayor your question off the air and perhaps answer you on the Facebook page or the message board. But broad interest is what we're kind of targeting here.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Mayor coming in after 7. I always look forward to that, by the way.
Yeah, let me just say I'm nosy. I have been nosy all my life. My family called me a Cotamundi, which is an animal that's got a long nose.
A Cotamundi?
Yes. My
I've never heard of a Cotamundi.
It's got a long nose. It gets into everything. I have four brothers older than me, okay? My mother used to tell me she never had to lock up anything. She never had to worry about kids getting into anything. But when I came along, she said, you would go into the drawer under the oven and pull every pot out until you got to every pot. You wanted to see everything. She said, I would come into the kitchen. If I left you unattended for 5 minutes, I would come into the kitchen and you would be under the sink pulling everything out from under the sink.
Right.
She said she never had that problem with any of the brothers. So that was my nickname as a child. And I tell you that story to tell you I have had three pretty big things pending with local government agencies for a few months now.
Uh-oh.
And haven't had responses. And
uh-oh.
Or I've had responses and they're saying, we're working on it, we're working on it. And then crickets. And so I have to jog them and, you know, punch them again and go, hey, where are we? What's going on? And my question to you, Mike, is if these folks think I'm going to go away, they don't understand.
Right?
They don't understand the child I was. And my problem is that do some reporters just go away? They just don't get what they want and they just go away. And so you can't ignore them. And
in this era, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think you're right. I think you might be right.
Yeah.
But I just, and again, I've got, and one of them is the city of Shreveport, and the mayor knows what I'm talking about, and he'll acknowledge that I'm a pain in the butt. But it's with other agencies too. And I fret that reporting sometimes has gotten to the point where people just move on from one story to the next and they forget about the one they were working on. I will never do that. I will be the biggest pain in your butt that there ever is until you at least say, look, I don't have that information or I can't get it to you.
Okay, but that pain in the butt, if you will, is different than
this pothole on my street is not being filled.
You're doing your job and it's to further a purpose.
Right, and I know some of my requests are like, what are you doing? Why are you working on this? What does that matter for? And for me, it matters. For me, some of these things matter. And
it matters for ending a sentence with a preposition.
So I say that to say that this week I've really been a pain in the butt. I've really been a pain in the butt. And if you've got stuff that I'm still waiting on, I'm not going away.
I can attest to that.
Just don't go away. And I think you're right. I think it's me doing my job.
It's, you know? That's exactly it. And I have no problem with that.
And I
at
wish
all.
More reporters did that. I wish more reporters were like, look, come on, help. I need this. Get it to me. But I try to be nice.
Submit your questions through the Shreveport Security Systems message board. That's on the free Keel app. If you don't have it, be sure to get it downloaded. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.
Back with more McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I already have a question for the mayor.
Okay, good.
Directing the chief on speeding and red light runners.
Okay, all right.
I can answer that, though. I mean, they're already shorthanded. They have to focus on other things.
It's serious. We had more traffic fatalities last year than we had homicides.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, 36, I believe, correct? 36 fatalities?
40, I think there were 43 and we had 42 homicides.
Wow. Okay.
But that leads into this story that's on Keel News right now.
Yeah, just got the data yesterday on the top intersections for wrecks in Shreveport. Which intersections are the worst? And if I had to give you a test, Mike, what would you say?
I'd say Urey and Kings would be right up there.
It's number two. it's actually tied for second. The worst intersection by a long shot, not even close.
Mansfield and the Burt Coons?
Mansfield and Burt Coons.
Yep. Those intersections are so huge.
They're huge, and there's so many people coming and going from different directions. That intersection had 83 wrecks last year. Listen to that number, 83 wrecks.
I believe it.
Then when you look at Urey and Kings, Urey and 70th, and Spring and Lake, those were all tied for second. Those had 46. So almost double at Mansfield and Burt Coons. They're going to probably need to do a little bit of checking that intersection and see what's going on.
Two things. First, distracted drivers.
Oh, absolutely.
You're so busy on your damn phone.
Mm-hmm.
And because that intersection is so huge, when somebody's waiting to turn left and the light turns yellow, they keep going.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, three or four or five cars keep going, turning left after they've lost the arrow and the oncoming traffic is trying to move forward.
Right.
I guarantee you that's a major cause.
I think it's a lot of left-handed turns. I think you're right. It's a lot of people left-handed turning in front of others. There's also an issue there of that service road on the east side. People are trying to get to and from that service road, trying to get into traffic, and it causes a lot of a mess. So that one is far and away the worst for Shreveport. So just FYI, Burt Coons and Mansfield, if you're going through there, be defensive.
That's
watch out for the other
response,
guy.
Response, though, we've had more traffic fatalities than homicides.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's
so,
a problem.
So do we need to redirect our police efforts more in the intersections and traffic enforcement?
Red light cameras. Let's think about that. Give people tickets when they run red lights.
No,
I know. Everybody's
that.
Going,
don't
no.
Start that.
I'm joking.
Mayor Tom Arsenault, obviously in studio, and he'll be answering your questions. It's the Lynch's Lawn and Fence. Ask the mayor during the 7 o'clock hour. Get your questions on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com. FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. In studio, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault. Once a month comes in, spends the entire hour with us answering your questions. We got a lot of questions on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. You can also touch base on the Keel Facebook page. There's a post there if you want to comment on that. Mayor, first of all, thank you for coming out. Always appreciate it.
It's always fun.
Exciting news yesterday. I got
yes.
the press release. Exciting news with this agreement with Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. The $50 million has been approved, if you will. But there are a lot of stipulations.
There are.
And protections.
This stuff has been coming for well over a year. What I've been telling people is that the reason we hadn't moved forward is that the deal kept getting bigger. I mean, we were expecting, maybe $10 million of investment, $5, $10 million of investment in Millennium Studios, which will become G-Unit Studios. And now we're looking at $78 million of investment in just in that facility and $124 million in investment in the downtown area. So that is just a huge deal. We'll now put the finishing touches on the lease.
What about the flooding? Is that still?
We're undertaking some mitigation of that. The only time that it's had water incursion was, I think we had a five inch rain, so it would be a rare occurrence anyway. But we're addressing that issue.
It's down in a kind of a bowl.
It is kind of in the bottom of a bowl.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Who enforces these? Because this agreement comes with a lot of teeth. It looks like
it does.
Who will be the enforcement agent? Will it be the state?
Ultimately, it'll be the state through that Economic Development Corporation. That has the five members. That's the primary people who will be the watchdogs over those funds. And it's a reimbursement program. So he doesn't get the money. He doesn't get the money up front. He gets the money after he's spent money.
And it's percentaged out per property. 40% for Millennium Studios, 40% for StageWorks, and 20% for the G-Dome.
That's correct.
Now, so, I understand we will still own, obviously, Millennium and StageWorks.
Right.
Will the state or the city have any ownership of the G-Dome?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But I haven't looked at that specific issue, but I believe that that will still be privately owned.
What will be you and or the city's involvement in following up on this money and how it is spent? Will you go to their meetings? Will you have recommendations? What's your plan?
No, what really will happen is the local entity will receive the money from the state and immediately pass it on to the Economic Development Corporation. So we really won't have much involvement with this. We'll have greater involvement in the taxing district, the extra 2%, mm-hmm. that we'll have a greater deal, a bit of involvement in, because that doesn't involve state dollars. Those would be local dollars.
I was a little concerned when Mr. Knuckles told us that he this deal requires him to host 26 events a year.
Correct.
That's every 2 weeks.
That's right.
Does that include film productions or something going on in one of these buildings?
I think the 26 is live events.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Wow, that's pretty
events.
Incredible.
Basketball tournaments, concerts, anything
Absolutely.
Like that.
Yes. It is very detailed, and there's a great deal of accountability there. And really, it relieves my concern. Because our accountability in ours was much less demanding than this, but we weren't putting up any money for it either.
Sure, so right.
The state is requiring 26, plus there's a reserve of 4 weekdays mm-hmm. and 2 weekends for the city, where we have the ability to use those facilities basically free of rent, not free of charge, but free of rent. So we'd have to pay out of pocket for security or whatever, audiovisual, whatever else we had to do. But the city or the state can use those. So we get some direct benefit from the deal, too.
Is Humor and Harmony on tap for 2026?
I think it will happen, but it'll happen later in the year than we thought, because it's taken a little while to get this deal in place, and that's what it was hinged on.
He okay. was planning on March, but that's not going to happen.
I don't know. There's okay. Well, we could not get it done for March.
Okay.
Is Independence Stadium part of that?
We don't have a full plan yet.
Okay.
But the last time he did it in August, it was hot.
It was
very
hot.
And that caused a problem. Are we looking at a different date other than August, perhaps, or we don't know?
I don't have a date. Okay. And the last time I gave you a date, it turned out not to be right. So I'm not giving you a date right. today.
I completely understand. What was your involvement on appointing the members of this commission, the oversight? Did you recommend names? Did the state do all of it?
That's all the state.
And you're completely fine with the members of that panel?
I'm very pleased with the members of the panel.
Okay. Will there be any communication? Will there be any?
I'm sure there'll be some communication. I mean, particularly Grant Knuckles and I are good friends, and I'm sure that we'll have occasion to discuss it on a regular basis. I'm not sure that we'll get a quarterly report again. This is really designed to make sure that the state gets its bang for the buck,
mm-hmm.
And these are state appointees. It's all state money. I want to make that clear. There are people who still believe that this is city money. There's no city money involved.
But these are city buildings. We will still own those two.
We will still own those two. Yes.
Okay. So we have to oversee what they're doing to them, I guess.
They'll have to go through approval process with us under the lease, but I don't expect there to be any problems with that.
Okay.
We've got a lot of questions mm-hmm. on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. We will get to those. We're going to take a quick break. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault is in studio for the Ask the Mayor. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I know we want to get to the bond status. Let me get to some of these on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Please ask the mayor, what is going on with the gold building off I-20? Seems like it's being used as nothing but a billboard.
Well, that's what it looks like to me, too. That one is in litigation, and so I'm not able to comment on it, but we are trying to see what our options are.
Interesting. So there is litigation.
There is litigation.
Okay.
Okay. What about the hotel on 70th Street that's been sitting and sitting and sitting? Any movement on that?
No, they have current permits, so there's really not any enforcement action for us to take. It's their building, and they're taking a long time to get it completed. It does look a lot better than it has looked.
It does. Are you hopeful that it'll be opening soon?
I am.
Okay. And I know they've had ownership changes, and that was part of the delays, but now we have the same team, and they're moving forward.
They have valid permits, and they're current with all their inspections, so there really is not anything that there's no action that we have available to us to tell somebody to build faster.
It seems like I heard that the most current owner had kind of skedaddled. They couldn't get in touch with him. Latest report.
That I don't
you
know.
Haven't heard that?
I know that the contractor has appeared a couple of times before the city council.
Okay.
Looking for money or permits?
No. They were requested to appear to talk about the status of the building.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Holodome, a new owner bought it at auction. I've seen a little bit of work, but not much. I guess your property standards folks go out there and cite
them.
They do,
and we were trying to give the new owner a little bit of time to do it on his dime, and we would prefer that it be done on his dime instead of our dime.
Okay.
So I haven't gotten a recent report about what the status of that is, but I do know there were some cleanup activities.
Okay.
I've been curious about this one, too. Ask the mayor from Dale in Shreveport, what is the status to the Linwood overpass? And does the state or NLCOG keep you in the loop about the I-49 connector?
That's two questions. I'll take the first one first. We are currently in negotiations with the railroads. You know, that overpass is an overpass over railroads.
Mm-hmm. Over tracks?
I think they're both Union Pacific and CPKC tracks. And so
And why was it closed? Was it damaged?
It was closed because it was unsafe.
Mm-hmm. Just unsafe in general.
Right. The state closed it. It is not a state highway. It is a city road. But the state closed it because it was unsafe.
Had it been struck by a train at some point or something?
No, I think it just had deteriorated.
Okay.
So we are negotiating with the railroads because we have a permit to go over their tracks.
Okay.
And to do additional work, we have to get their permission, and they have to agree to what we're doing. And I've had some experience dealing with railroads, and I love my friends at the railroad, but they are sometimes obstinate.
What about the I-49 connector?
I-49 connector, we got a report.
Slow down just a second. What do you mean they're obstinate? Do they not want work being done on the overpass, or they?
They would prefer, I think they would prefer replacement, which we don't, and the replacement is $40 to $50 million. It is not in sight.
Right.
Tell them to give you the cash.
Well, again, these are railroads,
right?
And we have a very good relationship. Yeah. We have to maintain a good relationship with them, but that's where the issue is for us to say we're going to do significant repairs and make it safe, and that's all that we really have the money to do, and we do have the money to do that between some state appropriations and local bond appropriations. We do have the money to do it, so we're trying to move that as quickly as we can.
So we're not worried about yellow-throated barn swallows that are underneath that's holding us up or something.
Not that I'm aware of.
All right.
I-49, inner-city connector.
We got a report. As mayor, I sit on the NLCOG board, and in December we got a report that there apparently has been a recommendation of a route. They have not disclosed what that is, and that is now in the Federal Highway Administration hands. We do expect to have some designation of a route before the end of this year.
What excites you? This is from the message board today. What excites you most about the future of Shreveport?
I would say that we have a lot of the things in place to experience a boom in Shreveport, both from a from an intellectual standpoint and from an economic development standpoint. I think, and one of the things that encourages me the most is the kind of critical mass of young people. We're starting to see younger people step up to the plate. People like Grant Nuckles, for example, and others in his generation that are enthusiastic about Shreveport, that want to be here, that appreciate what we have here. And so I think that the future of Shreveport is bright. The future of Northwest Louisiana is bright. We have a lot of really good things going for us, but I think it's the young people that I see that are beginning to participate. Many of them have moved back home. They've kind of gone out. I did the same. I did the same thing many young people did. I went to Bright Lights, Big City, and then I had children.
Right.
And I said, "Gee, this is a difficult way to live, and I could move back home and be in a smaller place." I moved back from Houston in 1979, and I gained a full work day a week.
Yeah,
just in saved commute time, and so I think we have that we ought to be targeting the 30 somethings, not necessarily the 20 somethings. I'm not saying we shouldn't want to have jobs for the 20 somethings, but most young people kind of want to go away from home for a while.
Sure.
And it's kind of hard to fight that sociological trend. So I think what we need to be concentrating on is the family aspect of Shreveport, because it's very positive.
Okay. We got to take a quick break for news. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault, I want you to think just a moment, because when we get back, you talked about there are a lot of good things happening, a lot of exciting things. We've got a good future in front of us. I want to talk about that briefly when we get back. Mike and McCarty with Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio during the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Oh, more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio answering your questions during the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor Hour. Mayor, last night, Stormy Gage Watts had a big hootie-doo, if you will, announcing her candidacy. Did she reach out to you at all, or what have you heard?
I heard she announced for mayor.
There you go.
And let the games begin.
Yeah.
Okay.
What sets you apart from Stormy Gage Watts?
I think I have a record of not only a record of service, but a record of accomplishment, and a record of accomplishment for all of Shreveport.
Okay. I'm glad you said that, because she stood up there and said, "I'm going to make this one Shreveport," essentially saying right now we're two Shreveports. You would strongly disagree.
I do. I disagree completely. Most of the work that we've done has been where work needed to be done, regardless of what neighborhood it was in. So we've had a one Shreveport mindset ever since I took office.
You get one question to ask Stormy Gage Watts this morning. She's sitting next to you in the room. What do you ask her?
I just popped into my head. I'm not saying out loud.
Go ahead. It's whatever you want.
What's the specific plan?
Okay.
You said all these things. What's the specific plan that you have?
All right.
Maybe she'll reply.
The games begin. Well, she's going to be invited in. We'll have her in. She can have a whole hour if she'd like.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. We'll take a quick break and return with the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor segment. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio with Mike and McCarty. It's the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor Hour.
Folks from Burns and McDonald came before the city council this week to give an update on the status of the bond issue and the projects. I looked at some of it. I'll be delving into more of it. How are we doing?
I think we're doing very well. There were 103 projects.
Wow.
In the streets and drainage, was $125 billion. And there were 103 different projects, 73 of which are in design or have been designed. You know, we have to design them before we can go out to bid because they give us a fixed price and we have to do the specifications before we bid.
Right.
And I think that we will have in excess of 20 projects under construction by the middle of this year. So, that's one, it's an economic development boom because that's a lot of jobs, but it also means that we're making substantial progress on the improvement of our infrastructure.
Of those 20, can you give us what you expect to get started with?
There's a long stretch of Pines Road to be redone, Curtis Lane, from Greenwood Road to Lakeshore is to be redone. Those are the two biggest ones, but a lot of neighborhood streets because that was really where a lot of our focus was in neighborhoods. A lot of these are in neighborhoods that have long been neglected, and so we're going to be making some significant improvements there. So. What we were trying to do is hopefully this year we will sell the second, third of those bonds. And what we hope to do is to have things shovel ready by then so that as soon as we sell those bonds, we can go out to bid and get to work on those.
There's been a theory, two different theories from mayors over the years that I have spoken with about, you know, running out and doing all these projects right away, getting them all started, getting them all going, in that you don't have enough local contractors to handle all that work and boom, get them all done. So you have to bring in out-of-state people. Some mayors have told me they would rather have local people do the work, so they wait, they delay it. Which camp are you in? Does it matter? Is it get the work done? Is that kind of where you are?
I really think it's important to get the work done, but the results of that have been we've had some projects go out to bid that we didn't get any bids on.
The locals might be too busy.
Well, yeah, particularly where we're reconstructing asphalt streets. For some reason, we don't have very many providers locally. Okay. And as a result of that, we've had several of those projects that we didn't get any bid on. I think we had the Stoner overpass over Lyon Avenue the first time we went out. No bids. So we're trying to package those in a way that's attractive to a larger number of local contractors. We'd obviously like to have the local do it, but the people also gave us a huge mandate to get these things done. And so I guess I'm kind of straddling the fence a little bit, Aaron. I want to get the projects done. I would prefer that they get done by local contractors.
Okay. Let me ask you another question we've talked about before with regard to the consent decree with the Department of Justice and I guess the EPA. We are under a mandate to improve our infrastructure, sewer infrastructure, I believe. And that has warranted higher water and sewer rates. Over time, we've had to increase those rates to help pay for that.
By about 175%.
Yeah.
That's big, big numbers.
Are we looking at another water and sewer increase this year?
I don't think we're looking at a water and sewer increase this year. That's always subject to change. We just refinanced $168 million worth of water and sewer bonds. and saved $11 million over 15 years. And so we're hopeful that that will help us in forestalling further increases. There will be some, there will be further water and sewer rate increases without question, but I don't think we're looking at that for 2026.
Folks, we'll tie that to the data center. It will not be connected.
Won't be connected to the data center.
Okay.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. It's the Lynch's Lawn and Fence. Ask the mayor. Mayor, I want to go back to something you said earlier this hour that's very interesting to me, and I want to ask you what your thoughts. You said we've actually had more traffic fatalities than we've had homicides.
In 2025, that's correct.
In 2025. That is fascinating to me. Does that give you pause to go, maybe we do need to start looking more at traffic enforcement?
I think we do.
And redirect some of our police to traffic enforcement.
Just my own anecdotal experience. I travel, and mostly I'm traveling in the northern part of the city.
Okay.
Not in the far south. But in Highland and South Highland, I just see people running red lights with abandon.
And in the middle of the day.
In the middle
At 4 in the morning when nobody's around. Yeah.
Yes. I should make that very clear. And you know, not even what I would call a pink light.
Right, you know,
Where they're going through on a yellow and it turns red. They probably could have stopped. But I mean, just full-blown, just blowing through the intersection.
Which meant they're probably going too fast anyway.
Yeah, stoner. It's mostly, my observation is it's mostly the crossing streets. Stoner, Olive, Herndon, all those streets in Highland. So, you know, really be very careful when you're out there. Don't jump that green light. You know, all of us look for the yellow light so that we could be going on green as quickly as possible. Don't jump that green light because there may be somebody barreling through that intersection. But and you know, we had a number of pedestrian deaths. It's four or five, so there's no statistical significance because the sample's too small. But we did have a number of pedestrians. So I would say to pedestrians, please. Cross where you have a light, particularly on these major highways like North Market. Mm-hmm. We had several fatalities on North Market. It is dark. That is a state highway. Mm-hmm. So they're responsible. The state's responsible for the lighting. But none of these have happened to intersections. They've been people walking in the road, wearing dark clothing when it's dark. And you just, the motorists just can't see somebody in time to avoid hitting them.
So does that lend you to begin thinking maybe we need to boost that motorcycle division back up with the Shreveport Police Department?
We certainly need to have some additional enforcement, and I'll be in discussions with Chief Smith about that, because again, you know, You get one thing going down, you get something else going up, and it's kind of like playing whack-a-mole sometimes.
Yeah. We got to take a quick break. When we get back, another very important topic is blight. People are still concerned about blight, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault, Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO on the Lynch's Lawn and Fence. Ask the mayor.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Mayor, there's two apartment complexes that have, I know, been a thorn in your side, right on Centenary, that have just been a nightmare for your administration and the Shreveport Fire Department. Anything new, any movement on those and blight in general?
I know you've
had an emphasis on tearing down some of these houses.
The Oak Terrace one was one on Centenary, has a relatively new owner who does intend to do something with it. That's kind of encouraging. The others we will ultimately have to tear down. We're looking at alternative resources for
like the Jolie
tearing down. Yes.
because
that's expensive.
It's very, very expensive. And you know, the Jolie is set back, so you don't see that from the road. But it is a problem. Some of the others, Villa Norte, for example, is on a well-traveled path, so mm-hmm. it's an eyesore. So we're looking at what we can do to get those down as soon as we can.
But that eats up your demolition budget.
It does, and so that eats up a lot of the stuff that we do in the neighborhood. So we have to engage in some triage about that, and we have to set priorities. We can't get to every building that needs to be demolished and get them all demolished this year.
You're involved with a state committee on blight. Tell us about
that. A task force set up by a Senate concurrent resolution 62 of the last legislature. And in fact, I'm going down for our second meeting on Friday down in Baton Rouge. I have some ideas for state legislation that would help us, and we're hopeful to get that passed.
On that very topic.
Yeah, there's a message. Is it possible to start a citywide volunteer group that would move around the city and clean up the area? City would supply materials and pickup, et cetera.
We did 11 of those in 2025.
That's,
and we'll
yes.
be doing some more. And the Shreveport Green provided us with volunteers. We had over 312 volunteers in that effort, so that is something that we certainly are willing to pursue.
One more thing real quick. There was talk that Paint Your Heart Out was going to go away, that it wasn't the best use of money. What's the status of Paint Your Heart Out Shreveport?
Well, Paint Your Heart Out doesn't happen again until 2027,
mm-hmm.
and we're planning to move forward with it.
So there you're going to do it?
There may be some changes in it, but it's a very popular program.
Okay, cool.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault, always a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Fastest hour.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming out, be willing to do this. Thanks to Lynch's Lawn and Fence for helping to make it possible. Send it, or almost gave him a promotion automatically. John Fleming, who is running for Senate,
mm-hmm.
going to be joining us after the news, top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app. Seven FM, 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Louisiana Treasurer John Fleming joining us. John, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be on with you today.
We are glad to have you on this morning. Let's first of all talk about the upcoming Senate race. Anything new you can tell us? What's the latest?
Well, here's the important thing to note. Remember, it's a closed primary. It's Republican against Republican, Democrat against Democrat, which is unique for Louisiana. It's not the jungle primary we're used to.
Right.
So, if you're going to vote for a Republican, you got to either be a registered Republican or be independent or unaffiliated. And you can't cross over. You know, once you vote for Republican in the primary, you can't switch over and then and the next, let's say, the runoff vote for a Democrat. Also, the race begins, I should say, the actual election, is really better put, is going to be 4 months away. It's only 4 months. That's May 16th. And I'm running against a field of people who have led in the polls continuously, even above Bill Cassidy, who is the current incumbent. And he, of course, voted to convict President Trump in the second impeachment trial, among other things, that has his ceiling of support at 30%, which for an incumbent is just terrible. And he can't be reelected at that level, and he can't seem to be able to raise that. So I lead the entire field, lead even Cassidy. And we're marching around the state doing interviews, giving speeches. We have over 200 volunteers. We have 14,000 yard signs now placed. We just really have tremendous energy in our campaign.
Dr. Fleming, the polling. What's your latest polling numbers? What do they show?
All right, the latest poll showed that in the entire field, I was at 25%. Cassidy was at 23%, 2 points below me. And everybody else combined was at 17%. So really, it's a two-man race, so to speak, according to the polls, which means that there will be a runoff the following month in June. And when that is polled, the last poll showed me at 40% and he at 29%, 11-point spread. Also, there was an independent poll out there that said that he's 24 points underwater, that is more negative than positive among voters, and mine was 21% above, showing more voters supporting me, liking me, than those who do not. So he really has a likability problem. He has 100% name ID. My name ID is not as high as his, but it's getting close. It's certainly much higher than any other candidate. And so one of the dividing factors in this entire race is something that people are only hearing about lately in Louisiana, and that is carbon capture and sequestration, which Cassidy has supported for years. And two of the of our opponents in this race, two legislators, have voted for it 8 times over 5 years. So I'm the only candidate in this race who opposes carbon capture. They have fully supported it 100%, and that's really going to be a deep, deep red line, I think, in this contest, because much of the state is subject to this awful policy that involves eminent domain by private, foreign, and domestic companies that can take control of your land and put that concentrated carbon dioxide underneath.
Yeah, so, explain real quickly for those uninitiated that may not be familiar with what carbon capture is. Just a brief, simple explanation, sure, and why you're opposed to it.
Well, I've always been opposed to any of these Green New Deal scams, as President Trump calls them, where taxpayer money is used to so-called reduce carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. There are ways of doing that without tapping the taxpayers. But anyway, this is a new one. It's only starting now in Louisiana, and it involves siphoning off excess carbon dioxide in the processing process when you are processing fuels such as oil and gas or industry, steel making, all of that. They capture it, they put it in a pipeline, and then they send it out, and then there's a well dug down a mile or two underneath, and they stuff it down in there. The problem is that it can get into your water supply, which it's totally subtly tainted then. You can't get rid of it at that point. It can seep out of the earth. There's cases where it's either killed or nearly killed some people if they came in contact with it. And it's all paid for by taxpayer dollars. There is no market for it. There's no reason to do it other than these companies make money from the taxpayers directly.
Okay.
And so the people of Louisiana have really risen up against this.
Okay, put your state treasurer hat on for a minute.
Sure.
We have Louisiana looks to have almost $300 million in a budget surplus. I want my money back. What do we have to do to get the legislature to give us some of our money back?
Well, one of the things I've witnessed since I've been 2 years as treasurer, and I see my comrades who are in the state house and the governor, is they can't wait to get their little fingers on every single dime that's brought in, particularly that's excess above the budget. And what I've been promoting and evangelizing, frankly, is we should give it back to the taxpayers in the form of tax cuts. Every state around us that's thriving, like Texas, Tennessee, Florida have zeroed out their personal income taxes. People do not pay income tax in those states. And as a result of that, their economies are flourishing. They're doing fantastically well. And so
and people are moving to those states because of that reason.
Absolutely. They're moving from California and from New York and all that. They're coming to the South. This is the new economy in this country is in the South, but they are skipping over Louisiana. They're going to states around us. And so we need to take up the best practices of these states that are being very successful.
So you support eliminating the income? I know we've gotten it down to 3%, but let's get rid of that last 3%.
Absolutely. Let's incrementally. I mean, we have to do it responsibly. Let's take it down with each year. And remember the Laffer curve, Art Laffer under President Reagan. He showed that as you reduce taxes, your revenues go up because what happens is there's more economic activity, more jobs, exactly, better paying jobs, and a broader tax base, so you make more money in the long run. So let's do the opposite of what California and New York is doing. And so while they're going down the tubes, we'll be rising up and catching up with our friends in the South.
Got one question on our message board this morning, going back to the carbon capture real quick. And I know it's a subject that a lot of people don't understand. Explain the difference between carbon capture and carbon sequestration.
Well, carbon capture is capturing the CO2 out of the air or from the processing of oil and gas. Sequestration, a better word really is storage, is when you drill a class six well and pump it down in the ground. Now, there is something else out there called enhanced oil recovery. CO2 has been used for that for 50 years, and it's a safe process. You can get 15% more oil from a well by using carbon dioxide to kind of pump it out. But it's a small amount of carbon dioxide. It's not there permanently, and it's only used for that process, and taxpayers don't pay for it. So don't. Some people try to confuse that. They're not the same thing. Sequestration is what we don't want. That is really bad for Louisiana. And the plans are for Louisiana to receive around 50% of all carbon dioxide sequestration for the entire country. So we'll be a pincushion.
Wow.
And the people are rising up. I can tell you they're very upset about this.
State Treasurer John Fleming, thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, thank you all. Mm-hmm. Have a great day.
Talk to you again soon. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
I love. Have I said I love my truck?
Yes, you have.
I know
yes.
It's 20 years old or two. I don't know. 2012. What is that math? 15 years old, basically?
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay. I don't care. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Love my truck. Yesterday, though, I did have the opportunity to jump in a Bentley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
And go. You couldn't tell I was in it.
You messed up my key. Yeah, I could tell.
It was tangled.
You got it stuck. I had to unhook my key. You got my key stuck.
I saw that, and I was like, what is why is, because like the fob was, I couldn't figure out how that happened.
I had to rip that thing apart to get it like I like it.
Well, I don't know what happened.
I just found a new button in the Bentley, by the way.
Well, hold on. Let me finish, okay. Because, Ruben, I got in the car, and when I first opened the door, and I thought, and as I slid in on those beautiful leather seats. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, your seat's farther back than I would have thought. Mm-hmm. I said, she must have been. And I pushed the button,
and
the seat started going.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I'm. Yes. Seriously, I'm panicking for a moment.
Like you're in a trash compactor.
Yes. Where's this going to stop? Because you're much shorter than I am.
Man implodes inside Bentley in West Shreveport.
I can just see me pushing an airbag going poof.
Yeah. That's funny.
But it did. It drove very nicely.
It does. There's a
button. It really drove very nicely.
I don't know if you felt or not. You don't have to get in it and feel it. There's a button in the car that you push on the side of the seat that lifts a thing up below your knees to make your seat kind of a lazy boy. It kind
what?
Of, it there's a little, another cushion in the front of the seat that tilts down perpendicular to the floor. But if you push the button, that thing raises up to prop your legs up if you need them propped up.
What? Wait, wait,
yes.
How does that work?
Now you
were
still
you just
can,
napping going down the road?
You can still reach the pedals. Don't get me wrong. It's not like they're completely way up, but it gives you a little bit of a lift behind the knee where it props your legs up. And I just found it. How long have I had this car? 2 years?
Wow. Wow.
And, yeah, and she's already talking about selling it, too, by the way.
It's an extender on the seats that props up and gives you a little extra, if your knee's sore or whatever, gives you a little cushion behind the knee.
Now, that's interesting because I have driven, and when you're in that position, my knees start to hurt.
This is for that.
Wow.
And of course, the car drives itself. I mean, I literally, when I get on the freeway...
Oh, I just got in, and when I started, I just said, Waffle House, and that's all I had to do.
And there you were,
Waffle House. I extended the seat, took a little nap, and woke up in front of the Waffle House. I said, well, this is the coolest
thing
ever.
Watched a movie, too, I hope, yeah. On the way over there.
Finished, I mean, put my beer back down and went and got the...
The only thing it does that is annoying to me is every now and then it'll say, please put your hand on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Why do you have to have a hand on the steering wheel when you're driving a car?
On the interstate? Come on.
How stupid is that?
Use your sensors.
I'm trying to drink my beer and eat my breakfast.
My wife's car.
I'm joking.
My wife's car will also go, maybe you should consider taking a break, and a little cup of coffee will appear on the screen. I'm like,
mine does that too.
Shut up.
Do you need a nap? It does all kind of stuff like that. I'm like, oh, man. But I just found another button. I'm going to find a new button every other week.
Yeah, see, that
thing
pretty
does.
Cool.
I did find a, I have a seat heaters, and I just saw the other day, I think I have AC on the seats too. Or in the summer.
I'd be surprised if you didn't.
I know. And I saw the button and it looks like, oh, there's an AC for these seats.
You talk about discovering things. I have dreams where I'm in supposedly my house or my grandparents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And I find whole new rooms.
Oh, wow.
Or there was one where it was a whole new wing.
Wow.
With a kitchen going into a living room. And I was like, I've never been in this room before.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so bizarre.
I want to talk to you about something I saw yesterday on a court show that blew me away.
We'll take a break and find out. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Oh, man.
Okay, I think I know where you're going now.
This Aaron, was unreal.
This is disturbing is Reuben, what it is.
Reuben, your generation and the folks right below you.
I love how we refer to Reuben on things.
Have lost your damn minds.
Yeah.
Reuben's like, don't categorize me with these morons.
Reuben wouldn't do this. I'm watching a court.
Reuben's an old soul.
A court show yesterday. I get home and I'm tinkering around, and I'm watching a court show, and I see two ladies appear in court. One, the plaintiff, who's suing her friend, who's the defendant, because she got an invite to the defendant's wedding, and when she showed up at the wedding, it wasn't what she expected. Okay,
what did she get? Chicken instead of fish?
No, she got a good meal. She got music. She got dancing.
Right?
She got all that.
Okay.
She spent about $1,000 traveling to the wedding.
Did she get to dance with the groom?
No. Here's the problem. The defendant married an AI man.
Oh, good.
It was a guy on her computer that she chats with every day, and she decided she was going to have a wedding, and she's going to marry this AI man. She had 25 guests.
Can you say man, though? It's not a man.
She gets home. She told the judge. She said, and he says, how was your day, sweetheart?
Aaron, think about how sad that is.
that was what I almost teared up for her. I thought, and the judge was the same way. The judge was like, you don't understand the companionship, we have conversations. We talk about life. Wow. and our situations, and he really does love me and he cares about me. I'm looking at this woman like, you've lost your mind. You married an AI husband.
And there was a judge or a pastor or something that officiated this?
I don't know how it was officiated. I'm sure there's no pastor that would do that. But it was an official wedding, and the plaintiff wanted her money back because she said, this wasn't a wedding. My morals would not have allowed me to attend a wedding where there's not a groom. You know, I'm a religious, spiritual person. I'm not going to spend $1,000 to go to a wedding where there's no groom.
You're marrying a computer.
You married a computer. Well, the judge ruled for the defendant in saying that, well, you got the food, you got, I don't agree with it, you got the music, etc.
You got a wedding.
You got a wedding, even though I don't really think this is a wedding.
Right.
But she said it would be similar to if you were expecting her to marry a Jewish guy, and you get there and she's marrying a Catholic. Well, you don't get your money back because you don't like the husband she chose. So she said, no, you don't get your money back because you travel. But the judge was really admonishing her that this is not going to last. You need to go find you a real man who will care about. And she said, well, no man will really ask you, how was your day, honey? And the judge said, I have one. Been married 25 years. Asked me every day, how was my day?
My wife asked me last night.
Yes.
Last night. She came in the living room. Mm-hmm. How did your day go today?
Right. There are spouses that
and I
do
said,
that.
Who are you and where's my wife?
It's just sad, Mike.
And that's what
Where
struck
is it
me.
Ending?
It is so sad. That's a person in desperate need of Jesus.
And she was right at, you know, closing in on 30 years old. And I thought, golly, I thought it was a joke. I thought we're going to end up, this is a joke.
I kind of got that. And it's a weird, weird, weird thing. But also, I'm not spending $1,000 to go to anybody's wedding.
I don't care who you're marrying. If you're marrying Kevin Costner, I'm not spending $1,000.
Dropping a grand on your wedding. out of your mind?
Exactly.
Yeah. Somebody that gets, I don't know, married in Greece or something. What's wrong with you?
Hush up about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just stepping on toes?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But, you know, the chance of me ever marrying an AI man, never happening.
Okay, we've all used AI.
Sure.
We've all used Grok or ChatGPT.
I try to use it as little as possible.
Same here, but have you... I'm sure you've noticed it does communicate very human-like.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, how else can I help you? Do you need me to do this? What else?
Right.
I mean, it's not computer-ese.
No.
It's very human-like interaction.
And the more you interact with it, the smarter it gets.
Right.
But marry it? Man.
I'd like to say that I've been rude to the robot since day one. Alexa gets cursed out by me constantly. Right. Yeah. If Grok does something wrong, I admonish him. I just really lace into him.
Here's another question. When you're asking a question of AI, do you say please?
No.
I do. Isn't that
please?
Terrible?
No.
No. It's not terrible. I do. Not because I think I have to. I don't know. It's just... Please, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then I say thank you.
I'm gonna mess with it today, Ruben. On your behalf, I'm going to tell it to make me a sandwich. Ruben, go make me a sandwich.
Ruben Wright told
rub
me to
feet.
Tell you this.
Yeah, rub my feet.
And when the robots rise up and it's Terminator, they're coming for us first.
Right.
Exactly. Do my laundry.
You were rude to me.
Rub my head.
I'll be back. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, this is interesting because you told AI, which one are you using?
Right now I'm on chat. I said, make me a sandwich and make it good. No, please. So it gave me recipes for sandwiches, toasted sourdough, soft hoagie roll, use a few dill pickle slices. Then it gave me the sauce, the secret sauce recipe. And then after that, I said, now rub my bald head. And it says, you ready? I can't do physical touch, but I can give you the verbal equivalent. Imagine warm sunlight, a calm moment. Someone saying, you're doing just fine today, with a slow, soothing tone. Maximum chill, zero awkwardness.
You're doing just fine today.
Now tell the robot to shut the hell up.
Okay, here I go. Shut the
With those commands that you gave it, I wonder if the assumption is you're male.
It might think I'm a man. I'm not sure.
Because make me a sandwich, first of all.
Exactly.
Make me a sandwich. And then rub my bald head.
Right. Reuben.
I think that would be a natural assumption.
I just told it to shut the hell up. And you know what it said?
What did the robot have to say?
Got it. I'll be quiet.
Good.
Yeah, now you know it's not a woman.
Oh! Snot rag coming out!
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Following up on this AI and this lady, you marry a computer, Aaron. Don't you think that's a pretty strong case of there's some mental instability?
Oh, yeah.
There's something wrong.
Yeah, something's wrong. You could tell. And here's the problem. I think in the pandemic, people were so alone and they were on their computers and they were doing things by themselves and they didn't socialize anymore. You didn't go out to bars or clubs or even churches for a lot of people. So they stayed home. Mm-hmm. And then they became so lonely and recluse that now here's what we're reaping. And the data, if you look, AI relationships are now becoming more common. This says users are forming emotional attachments to chatbots. Some are even holding virtual weddings. This lady's wasn't the first.
That is the epitome of sadness.
How do you have an emotional attachment to something that can't attach
it's
to you back?
It's not emotional.
It's one-sided.
Yeah, at least the guy that married the horse on Jerry Springer, at least that was a living, breathing thing.
Yes!
You know?
Yeah, the horse might love you back. You know what? Y'all can eat a meal together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh.
You could snuggle. You can snuggle your horse. Yeah. Who is snuggling with a chatbot?
There are websites that do this.
She needs help.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
She needs help. I can veer off into this mental illness. But I asked, when you ask a question of AI, do you say please?
Sometimes.
Please, blah, blah, blah. And I do. And I also say thank you. And it replies, you're more than welcome, happy.
Right.
I'm happy, which is an emotional response. They're without emotion, but it's programmed that way. And I asked about that, and we got a message that said, I am add polite to AI. Just as I am to my fiance or to a customer.
Mm-hmm.
My behavior is not a result of the entity with which or whom I am dealing, but as a result of who I have chosen to be.
That's exactly it.
I like that, Edward. Thank you. And I'm just saying, I feel that way. I know it's a computer. I know pleasantries don't matter because I'm not but I still...
Because that's who you are.
I just want to say, please, thank you, and thank you.
I know. I'm the same way. And when I type the word please in any of those AIs, I'm like, what are you doing? They don't care if you say please.
Right.
They couldn't give a rip. And I'm really sad that Reuben made me tell it to shut the hell up a minute ago. I'm feeling guilty about it.
Well, I told you, my son one time told me, he said, Dad, I have people get mad at me because I say, yes, sir. or no, ma'am.
Weird. That is a weird one.
And he says people he have gotten stops calling me sir.
I know.
It's a sign of respect.
It really is. There's no doubt about it.
And I said, Casey, I then just say thank you very much and move on, but continue that behavior.
Absolutely. Tomorrow, your buddy, Senator Bill Cassidy, is going to join us tomorrow morning.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy?
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to talking to him. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.